We talk a lot about hunger and parity amongst folks who are facing hunger here in Connecticut and in our towns and cities. But we are also experiencing a hunger issue among our college age population. And we're here to focus on that today through the eyes of a couple of folks who are near and dear to the food pantry at Connecticut State Housatonic. We'll be talking with Sue Franco, who's the director of that food pantry, and Alethea Cavarnos, who is with the Housatonic Foundation. The need for food support among students in Connecticut is growing and becoming more urgent than ever. And at Connecticut State Housatonic, this food pantry has really become a critical resource, growing from a humble closet in 2021 to a full-fledged shopping experience today. We're going to talk all about it, but in the meantime, we also want to remind folks who may be younger people, perhaps, who may be thinking about going into a career in geriatric support or in medicine or nursing, or anybody that just wants to help out some of our most treasured population. The Hospital Elder Life Program, or HELP, at Griffin Hospital is looking for volunteers to provide additional support for elderly patients at their facilities in Derby. HELP is a comprehensive, evidence-based patient care program that provides important connections between volunteers and patients, including mealtime assistance, daily orientation, therapeutic activities, walking, and exercise to help patients maintain their optimal level of well-being. Anyone 18 years and older is eligible to volunteer for HELP, and the good news is you don't need any previous medical experience to participate. Training and supervision are provided throughout your assistance experience with HELP. However, volunteers are required to give a minimum of about 6 months commitment to 1 4-hour shift per week, mostly on weekdays. So if that fits your schedule and you'd like more information, just go to griffinhealth.org/volunteer. All right. Speaking of doing critical work here, as we said, we've got a couple folks near and dear to the food pantry at Connecticut State Housatonic. So let's kick it off with you, Alethea. Thank you for joining us. As we pointed out, this started off literally as a closet just a few years ago, and now it is really a quite an amazing and critical point for a growing number of students. Let's talk a little bit about the story arc between the closet and the food pantry as it stands today.
Yes, well, thank you for having us. I'm happy to talk a little bit about it. I think, as we all know, you know, in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, we were really facing a lot of extreme pressures on our college students, outside issues that were affecting their needs. So in 2021, we got together and we opened up this pantry. And it was, as we said, a humble beginning. It was just a small closet, but every single semester we have faced a growing number of students coming and getting more and more food on the ground. And what's so exciting now, 3 years later, we have completely revamped the experience and expanded it, not just to having that shelf-stable food, but now we have fresh produce and frozen food, as well as meat. So we've expanded the collection so much so that students have a much wider variety.
So it's just not ramen and peanut butter anymore. This sounds super healthy for the students. And it's awesome that you guys have so quickly oriented to the full nutritional needs of the hungry students who take advantage of this service. And there have been thousands of them since 2021, right?
Yes. We have experienced, I think it was over a 400% growth in the number of students who are attending are and are getting produce, as well as the amount of pounds that of food that we are giving away. So a huge increase for our students. And the thing is, you know, I think a lot of people are aware of this idea of living in a food desert where the healthy options are just unattainable, whether they're too expensive or they're just not where our students are. So being able to have not just regular food, but also healthy, fresh produce is something that we always really want to come back to.
The cliche going back to my college days and for decades before that are that, you know, I kind of jokingly mentioned the ramen and peanut butter, but the famous kind of idea of squirting a few ketchup packets into some hot water to make some tomato soup is not something that was just made up out of thin air. This was a reality for millions and millions of students, but nobody really started focusing on the actual, you know, mechanics and the detriments of hunger among students. Alethea, to the extent that you can talk about it, can you explain to listeners a little bit about why not only keeping students at the college level fed, but fed with a balanced and nutritional offering of food is so critical to them in their daily lives as well as in their academic success?
Definitely. It really is so critical because our students, they are we have talked to our students and we have gotten their feedback, and they're saying, we're out here and we're eating cereal, you know. What they need is they deserve food that is safe, meets their preferences, and that they can get it in a respectful space. One of the things that's amazing about being a community college, though, is that we have students at all ranges of and ages as well, like diverse backgrounds and students who are parents who have children. So a lot of our college students are also working part-time and full-time jobs. So because of this, they're facing so many more outside pressures and issues that could help, that could stop or hinder their college experience and their educational journeys. So by being this and having this resource available to the students, we're making sure that no student ever has to decide between their educational journey and getting food on the table for themselves or their families.
Very good. Let's give you a break, Alethea, and switch gears and talk to Sue Franco. She's the director of the food pantry there at Connecticut State Housatonic. Sue, tell us a little bit about what you're seeing on the front lines and what you have been seeing in the time that you've been the pantry director in terms of kind of what Alethea was talking about in terms of the fact that these students probably couldn't do as good a job or even sustain a college education and schedule without the availability of your organization?
Certainly. You know, when I started this, we had 277 guests come in a academic year. Today, we're seeing, 5,000 visits to the food pantry. It is very important to them. Through my surveys, some have students have said that often sometimes they've run out of food and they don't have money to buy more food. So it's important to have the food pantry to fill that gap. I've also heard they have been unable to afford balanced meals. So getting fresh vegetables and fresh fruits is so important. And students, berries, you know, we go to the store and we buy blueberries. We don't ever think of it, but there are those families out there that just are very, very grateful to be able to choose strawberries, blueberries. So, you know, we try when, $5,000 for a semester, we'll get the students fresh produce, peppers, the berries, apples, oranges. So it's very important to our students. Well, and also, we're offering snacks. So I will tell you, we see 700 stops at the snacks a month. So that's because students are coming to classes and perhaps they haven't had breakfast. So we offer fruit and granola bars.
That's great. Tell us a little bit about how you make it all happen. I understand you've got a great partnership with our friends over at Connecticut Food Share, without that relationship, you may not be able to do the work that you're doing.
Absolutely. So originally, our food pantry started just with a partnership with Stop and Shop. Then Foundation was able to secure another grant for us along with the Stop and Shop. And then our Associate Dean of Campus Operations, Mario Pierce, was able to get a grant with the SARPS grant to help. And then when that was going away, I was really concerned, and I partnered with Connecticut Food Share, who has been amazing. So they are able, sometimes I have 2,000 pounds of food delivered, and some of the items I purchased are like $66 that we're paying. So it's just amazing, their partnership. We're able to supply our students with non-perishables as well as vegetables and fruits, whatever they can supply for the week.
Yeah. Well,
that's been amazing.
Tell us a little bit about the intake. Do they just basically have to show that they're a active student at the community college to be able to access the food bank, the food pantry there?
Certainly. Our food pantry is open to all registered students. Students come on. For the first visit, they complete an intake form. Very simple. We're not asking for an income amount. It's based on the honesty systems. All students are welcome to the food pantry. But basically, an intake form with their names, their address, a phone number, in case we need to get to them, in touch with them for unforeseen reasons. But and then every time they come, they just register. We do keep a tally of how many students and how many in their household. For the month of this past September, we saw over 400 visits with a total of 1,400 plus household number.
Wow.
So we're not just feeding those 400 students, it's their families.
And it's important to note that the ability for you to do this also is supplemented by students and others who volunteer with you so that you don't have to spend a lot of money on payroll, right?
Well, so we have 3 student workers. So now we give the opportunities for 3 students to work on campus around their school schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing that we can do that. Besides what I oversee it, but my student workers are the ones that do all the work. They do all the unloading, all the stocking, all the inventory. They're amazing. So that's a great opportunity for them too. I did want to share, so we do have to limit the amount of visits to our students to keep it fair and keep food for all our students.
Sure.
So we have to limit to 2 visits per month. At each visit, a student selects 10 units on non-perishable items, 5 units of vegetables and fruits, and 2 units of frozen meat, fish, or poultry.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And that's twice a month. I would love to offer it every week, but it's impossible. You need a lot more funds for that.
Well, let's get to work on that. Alethea, representing the foundation that helps make this whole thing happen, $80,000 annually is required to simply provide a twice-a-month opportunity to these students. Mm-hmm. There is capacity to grow that, if I understand correctly from Sue. So, Alethea, tell us a little bit more, Sue touched upon the fact that, for every dollar she spends on food, she might be able to get the equivalent of $10 worth or more of food as a result of the partnership with a Connecticut Food Share. So that means the dollars donated to support this effort are mission critical to not only its sustainability, but also there's a huge potential there for growth, right?
Definitely. We have a huge potential. As we said, we're so grateful for those partnerships with CT Food Share and Stop and Shop, who's really been with us from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing about it is to remember that ripple effect that we have. Not only are we helping the students, but all of those family members, the children that are relying on maybe their parents. So as we said, it is a large cost, but we're really, we already have our corporate partnerships, like M&T's Amplify Fund is another really amazing partner. And we're continuing the work, and we would love to have, more support to continue and expand what we're working on.
That's great. In terms of the capacity of the physical location to grow to meet greater need, is that currently available? Or if you ended up, say, qualifying for a much more substantial grant and you were able to get $100,000 or $120,000 or $150,000 for a few years, would that also constitute a need to relocate into a larger facility to accommodate the service?
Go ahead, Sue.
Okay. I wanted to say our current location has 5 rows of times 3 of shelving. We have 3 refrigerators and 1 freezer. So, and we don't even keep all the shelves stocked as it is right now. So having more money would just mean the every shelf stacked and every refrigerator full.
So does that mean community food drives specifically benefiting the Housatonic, Connecticut State Housatonic Food Pantry would be welcome?
Definitely. We would, definitely, of course, encourage that for sure. And as Sue was saying, we get thousands of pounds of food, but after a couple weeks, our shelves really deplete, mm-hmm. So because we have to limit those visits, we're working, we have exponential growth that can happen. We might be able to, allow students to come whenever, if we were able to get more food on the shelf. So I think we would definitely welcome any type of support like that.
In order to provide that support, you can do it online going to housatonicfoundation.org to get involved and make this effort sustainable and help it grow. The food pantry at Connecticut State Housatonic is a community-driven lifeline, ensuring that no student has to choose between education and hunger. Sue Franco, the pantry's director, has been kind enough to dial in and chat with us this morning, as well as Althea Kavarnos, who's the donor stewardship associate with the Housatonic Foundation. Once again, it's as simple as going to housatonicfoundation.org. Every dollar that you donate can be turned into $8, $10, $12, $15 worth of food to keep the shelves stocked at this food pantry. So we hope you'll participate and support it predominantly through cash donations, but also you could be in touch with them in regards to a targeted food drive. So thank you both this morning. Best of luck going into the winter and holiday season, and we'll talk to you again.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.